Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome again to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel, so yeah, your brother Moore, and today here is with me is your brother Keith Hutchinson, and he's going to assist me with this creation theory. We are going to give everybody a chance to start with us with the creation theory. You know, we got questions to concerning these matters, man, and a lot of people came in on the back end of a lot of these concepts. Well, today is your day. Today, you're going to start there, and we're not going to start over till we finish this time unless, you know, God willing, he inspire us, and God forbid, and they didn't allow us to get the work done. But this is the thing. We want to get through this. We're going to get to this, and to my brothers and sisters out there, please, 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 brothers, if you can, stand and face Jerusalem. And sisters, if you can, stand and face Jerusalem. And brothers, if you can, uncover your head as we approach the fathers and sisters. If you can, cover your head as we approach the Father, as we get prayed in, as we read these scriptures. My brother Keith, are you available?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. How's my microphone? Is it distorted enough?
You sound good. You give me one quick second, please, and I'll get you get a scripture.
Not a problem.
Yes.
Well, we just want to say this, everyone. Today is the Sabbath day, and today is the day that the Lord has blessed. Let us rejoice in it. He called all the other days good. So when you hear that scripture, he's specific on what it is, and he's referring to the Sabbath day, none other day. When he say this is the day the Lord has blessed, he is referring to the Sabbath day, the one and only day. He called the first 3 days evening and the morning. The last 3 days he called good. The seventh day he called a blessed one. Please pay attention to the things that we are reading that belongs to him. Amen.
Amen.
Are we ready?
Amen.
Yes, all right, sir. So look, brothers and sisters, let's approach the Father.
The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved.
Amen.
I have read Psalm 21 through 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing into the reading and the teaching of his words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. And Father, have mercy and send fourfold physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight and bless us because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them to and send forth your Spirit upon them as well and give them to a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and do it forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So today we are dealing with the creation, man. And I know, let me give you a brief synopsis of how I came to this, man. My elder brother, Henry Bouye, the Israelite guy, used to teach the creation precept. Maybe once every other year, or something to that effect. And I thought it was a wonderful, dynamic precept, man. And I thought that it went too fast. You know, me myself, I thought it was just too quick. You know, because I couldn't get enough of it. Me myself, I couldn't get enough of it. You know, I couldn't get enough of the idea that God did all these wonderful things in these days and times, and what He was showing us as a foundation that, you know, this is how God moved and operated, right? And that He created each day within a thousand-year interim, you know, which is true, you know, because that's the plan of God. That's the law, right? And we're going to get into that. But what He did was it's also showed us how to count these days and then use the prophetic calendar during this time window that He's given us in this creation. You know, we tend to believe that this is the only creation He got. This is not true. You got billions of planets out there, you know, in the cosmos, you know, let alone stars in our own solar system. You know, so He got all this going on. And so for us to think that this conversation just belonged to us would be foolish, you know. What we do, I'm not saying that there's aliens out there, but I would say there's other life forms, you know, because all the planets have a form of life, you see. So this is that thing. I don't know, man. I keep getting background from you.
No, I got you on speakerphone.
Okay, all right, that's well. Okay, well, this is the thing. Yeah, just keep me there, you know, because I can hear you loud and clear. It's just that if there's something that you need to do personally, mute your microphone. But, yeah. Okay. So, yes, this is that thing, man. For us to say that this creation is only life to us would be contradictory to the law and the prophets, you know, because the law and the prophets taught us that he gave life to everything, even the stars in the solar system. And, man, we're going to get into that, man. And not only that, we're going to use the things that he's allowed man to come up with to testify the things that belong to him in the law, right? God willing, we live. So here's the thing. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 1 and 1. Genesis chapter 1 and 1. And when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form."
Stop. That's all we're dealing with. That's all we're dealing with in the beginning, because we don't. This one verse is multitask, if I could say that. This one verse is speaking of so many different levels in the creation. It's beyond our comprehension. Even the things that the Father is allowing us to see at this time, it's not even touching the surface of the things that he actually done. First and foremost, let's look at the word beginning, right? So he said this, in the beginning. So let's look at this word beginning. What did he do in the beginning? The act or process of bringing or being brought into a being a start. So right here, God is letting us know that he is before the beginning. He is before the beginning. It says this, the act or process of bringing or being brought into being. So he, like we just got to read, he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, that was their beginning, but he was before that because he the one that brought it. And he said, and also, which is another derivative of this, the beginning of the universe, right? And so the universe,
right.
And let me reiterate this. The universe is not the cosmos. The universe is the signature of the solar system of what we live in. You got other solar systems. You got billions of solar systems that's inside of this thing that we call a firmament. We haven't even touched on that yet. And this is how huge the firmament is. This is how vast of the beginning is. This is why look, can you put a measure on nothing? We cannot.
No.
There is no measurement of nothing. So therefore, when you start talking about putting a measurement on nothing, you can't gauge how far it goes. All we can gauge is when he implemented light to it. And so man has came up with instruments that can go back as far as 4 to 5 billion years, maybe I would say tops 5 billion years. That's far as our instruments can go, which is cool. I'm good with that. You know, most scientists say the solar system is what? 4.5 billion years old. Well, 4 plus 5 is 9. That makes sense to me, right? That's the number of eternity, which only makes sense to me. So these things also are relevant to what is and what the Father is doing inside of the creation. This is that thing. So when you look at that, you're looking at, well, okay, so you can see that there's a relevance in there. So it also says the time when something began or has begun. So now he's telling us, when he said, in the beginning, the time when something began or begun, he's talking about everything. In the beginning, when everything begun, he said, it says the early stages of, right? What do you mean the early stages of? Because none of us was on his, was it here in the beginning. Everything that he has, he wrote it down first and then brought it into to being. Are we still going to get into that? Without the law, there is no testimony. So he wrote it down and then spoke it into existence. This is the thing that we got to really get into. He wrote all these things down first, then brought them in existence, right? This is why there is a law, because there is literal books on what he created. This is why you got this thing called the Book of Life, you know, and not just, I mean, we got a Book of Life for just us, mankind, right? But then he said he opened up the books. So it's more than one book. So it's more than one book that pertains to us in the solar system, in the universe, in the stars, and all the elements inside of those things, which we know is in the beginning. All, he got books for that. So he wrote those things in law that they would stay in their places because they bound by laws. This is why planets don't bump into each other. This is why there's a constant rotation of the solar system or the sun. That when you look at the earth, it never jumps a month. You'll never see the earth jump a month or two. You know, you'll never see the earth skip a day because that's a law. It's impossible for the sun and the earth to not coexist with each other. This is that thing. So I guess we got, let me see if I can pull up anything else. It says the start or commencement. It says the early stage, the early part or stages, the part where time when something start or an origin or source. So he said he said the first or early part or stage, the place where or time when something starts. So he gave a time window in the beginning. When he spoke in the beginning, that's time. Even though he didn't say it was time, even though he didn't give a number on time, he's telling us the beginning is the beginning of time. So you got to recognize time, even though we got eternity, even though you got, you know, even though he created eternity, I'm still asking the question, what was before eternity? Because he has to speak eternity into existence. You see?
Amen.
But there's no laws. There's nothing in well, God forbid, I ain't gonna say there's no law. There's nothing I haven't seen in from Genesis to Revelation that jumped off the pages that anything that would testify of what it is that he called from the beginning of eternity. But I know for a fact, in order for there to be eternity, he had to exist or call eternity eternity. You see? Mm-hmm. So this is another thing. Let me read this. Let me read these other three, and then we're going to move on. It says, the act of starting, the point of time or space of which anything starts, right? It says the point of time and space. So now we're talking dimensions here because space is a dimension. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Space is a dimension. Between you and I, there are dimensions. Why? Because we are not in the same zone at this time. Even though we may be in the same city, we are not in the same zone. We are not in the same atmosphere. So therefore, you keep you in another dimension, and I'm in another dimension. You see, so he created dimensions in between these things. So this is another conversation, which is a point of space at which anything time. Why would he create dimensions? Because he had to create dimensions or else heaven and earth would be colliding or man would have access to heaven willy-nilly because of the dimensions, because dimensions don't exist. But as long as there's a dimension, that means man has to pass through it. Only one that has the power to pass through one time window or one dimension to another is spirit beings, and we're not there yet. We're still flesh and blood. You
right.
See? But one time or another, eventually, we will be able to pass from one dimension to another without no issues whatsoever. Man is trying to create this thing called quantum physics, which is another way to pass through dimensions, which I think that the Lord has given them that science. But, you know, and what do you mean? The foundations of quantum physics would be things such as Star Trek, when they teleport each other, you know.
Portal.
When they go from the ship to a planet, or from one ship to another ship, well, you know, me being a trackie or whatever you want to call those things, they now have the power through discovery is the next, which is one running now, they can just teleport themselves anywhere, even through the ship. They like, you know, they don't need to stand on that instrument no more. They just back and forth through time, you see. And not only that, they ship can jump through time. I mean, literally, they jump from one dimension to another, the whole ship. You know, so this thing is really, you know, what man is trying to get to is quantum physics. But you don't get to quantum physics unless the God of Israel reveal these things to you. You got to acknowledge that he's the beginning of quantum physics. You got to acknowledge that he's the beginning of time. And scientists don't want to acknowledge that God exists, because every man knows that there's a judgment if there's a God.
Big man theory.
And this is a problem with man. And man understanding these things, because if there's a judgment, that means that, well, we know it's not a question of if there's a judgment. It's not a question of if there's a judgment. You see, you think, this is the thing. The question is, it's not even a question, because reasonable rationings tell you that judgment come with right or wrong. Judgment started with right or wrong. So when did judgment take place? 1 + 1 = 2. Well, okay, when he said the first day, the second day, he already taught us what math is. So right then and there, that gave us judgment. Okay, the first day and the second day, well, what happened? 1, 2. 1 + 1 = 2. Or 1 + 2 = 3. That's absolute. You can't defer that. You can't change that. That's an absolute. So anything contrary to that will bring in judgment. So therefore, he gave us judgment out the gate when he said the evening and the morning were the first day. So consciousness started in the beginning. This is why he said in the beginning was the word. Why? Because the word brought forth consciousness, and the only way consciousness exists is through judgment. Let's get back to the scripture, bro. Let's go to Psalms 8 and verse 1. Psalms 8 and 1. And when you receive it, read. Now, Psalms 8 and 1. Now, Proverbs. Psalms 8. I'm thinking that's, Proverbs, my fault. Proverbs 8 and 1. And when you receive it, read. Yes, sir. The biggest mistake scientists are making right now is not to acknowledge God. You've got to bring him. You've got to give him his honor and his message. Why? Because without him, there isn't any consciousness. But this is the thing with man. And I would say in this world, or the scientists in this world, the problem they got a problem with is the fact that there will be a judgment. If you're going to acknowledge God, then you got to acknowledge the fact that there is a judgment. And then if you acknowledge that there is a judgment, then you got to acknowledge everything that's written. That means that you got to acknowledge that we are the people of God, which they don't want to acknowledge, because then they got to understand that there is a judgment for putting your hands on his apostles and his prophets. And they have done that wickedly, wickedly. And he said, when you read the scriptures for what he said for putting your hands on his people, he said, there's no payment for that. You can't repay me for that. You're going to get what you got coming. There's no payment for that. You will not recover. There's no recovery from that. Ever. He said, all the nations are going to pay for this, every last one. Whatever they did to us as a people, all these nations are going to pay for it, flat out. Because you don't put your hands on a prophet. Just like we did. We put our hands on our own prophets and look where they got us. He said, you think you're going to, you know, if I don't punish my own people, you're going to get away with this? Ask Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, no, you ain't going to get away with this. Give them a cup. Give them this cup of my fury. He said, if my people drink this cup, you better know you're going to drink it. Proverbs 8:1, when you receive it, read.
Proverbs 8:1 reads, doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors.
Stop.
This is
Jerusalem. This is the gates that he's referring to. This is the city that he's referring to that we call New Jerusalem. But why is it called New Jerusalem? Because the old Jerusalem was destroyed. But before it was called New Jerusalem, this is the city. This is the place right now that he's crying for, that wisdom is crying from and always has. Why? Because this place dwells in heaven. That's why John said, I saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Well, wisdom is crying from here. This is that place, right? Skip down to verse 22 and continue.
I'm sorry. What did you say, sir?
22.
Oh, okay. All right. Verse 22 reads, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old.
Stop. See, he said, now here we go back to the beginning again. He said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning. So wisdom was there before the beginning. So the beginning isn't eternity. The beginning
life
isn't everlasting.
Life.
The beginning is the beginning of time, and wisdom was already there. And what is wisdom? The law. The law is wisdom. You see, this is that thing. In fact, let's take a quick detour here. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And pick it up at verse 1. And I'm going to need you to pick it up a little bit. Deuteronomy 4:1, and we're going to skip around.
Did you say 4?
Yeah, 4:1.
Oh, okay. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4:1 reads, it says, now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers give you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
Stop. See, this is the problem with a lot of us right now. And I know a lot of us grew up, you know, that we came into the word under Yahweh Shai, Yeshua, and things like that. That's one conversation. But if you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you can't have a conversation. You can't come in talking about, oh, well, now his name has changed, because he's – from Genesis to Revelation, this is all you got. You can't sit up and say there's a God and then say, oh, but his name is wrong. Then what else are you going to say eventually? You're going to say that the Bible is out of context. eventually you're gonna start, the enemy is gonna start wearing on your mind and start telling you that everything is wrong, and you're gonna go right back into the world just as dumb as worse than you was, because you had a, you knew better, and now you're trying to say that there isn't anything better. You're gonna testify that what is good isn't. So you got some of us changing the name. Well, you can't say God. You got to say Elohim. I was just talking to this dude just last week. I said, so how do you say the name of God? You know, I said, explain to me how you say it. He started running around in circles and stuff like that because he seen that I was, you know, I was coming at him. He started running around and playing word games and such. Instead of just asking a question, if you're going to come to me and you're going to present yourself as a scholar or someone that understands the word of God, then if you got the truth, there's no reason to hide. That's all to it. If you got something to hide, then that means that the devil is there, and you're playing games with him. That's trickery, sorcery. You see, this is that thing. So he said this, you shall not add unto the word which I command you. So now we want to change not only the name, the context Lord, but the name of Jesus. We want to take that out and call him whatever we want to call him when we read it. Well, when you get to Jesus, you can say, Yahshua, Yahawashi, or this, that, and the other. Not reading the King James Bible. No, you won't. You better go get you a Hebrew Bible or Aramaic Bible. And not only that, you can't even use a book that's been copywritten, because it's copywritten from the King James Version. And if it's copywritten from the King James Version, that means that it's doing nothing more but changing the words in it, and you're in agreement with that. So you got to get a published testimony, because the word of God said he published his word, and his word is published, not copied. It's published by the prophets. So when you look at the King James Version, when you read it, it says it's published, not copyrighted. But when you get into the NIV, the New World Translations, and all these other Johnny Come Lately translations, the Cypress and all this other type of madness and whatnot. There's a lot of brothers are sitting up there talking, well, you got to read the Cypress book. I'm like, dude, who wrote that book? And the same one they got a problem with is Esau. He wrote it for his benefit and his people. Then you start getting into the Godhead on no book, and they get all out of discombobulated. I said, man, see, they don't know God. They don't know God because this scripture wouldn't be here saying this if you put Yah or Elohim here, because these are conflicting each other, because the conversation is not talking about the two. It's talking about one. But when you put this here, you're saying it's two. So you out of context. This is why you can't go with these books. Once again, in the beginning, it says copywritten. Copied from what? The 1886 version of the King James Version. And then, not only is the 1886 is published, but the 1611 is published.
Which one I got?
The 1611 got the Apocrypha in the middle of it. That's a published article. So you can't, anything outside a published article that's containing the word of God, you can't use it unless it's been published. That's why I say, if you're going to go and say that this word is tainted to you, then you got to find a published version of Aramaic. 100%. 100% Aramaic published, not copied, published. You see? So anything aside from that is an altered lie. You see? He said, let's skip down to verse 6 and continue.
Deuteronomy 4:1, it says, now hearken, O Israel. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Skip down to verse 6.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. Verse 6 reads, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is great nation, is a wise, understanding people.
Stop. So this is that thing here. So he said, therefore, do and keep them. So what do you mean? You keep the commandments of God. This is your wisdom. This is the wisdom that was from the beginning of time. He wrote all this stuff down. What do he mean? What do he mean he wrote down? Read to continue.
Verse 7 reads, for what nation is this so great? For what nation is so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we can call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
See, the thing is, he wrote these laws from the foundation of the creation before there was even a beginning. The law was in the place before there was a beginning. He said, therefore, you keep all of these laws that I gave you. Why? Because he wrote them down and said, this is the laws of heaven and earth and everything that pertains to heaven and earth, mankind and everything that exists that have life in it. That includes the planets, the solar system, water, air, germs, bacteria. All of them have laws, every last one of them. And he said, when you keep these things become relevant in a life. You see? This is the thing that he wrote down in the beginning. This is the wisdom that was in the beginning that was crying from New Jerusalem from the foundation of the world, because he had already wrote it down before he even created a heaven. That's why I said, wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. In the beginning, he created heaven and earth. So what was before in the beginning? Then he showed me that. We're going to get into that. He showed me what was in the, before the beginning. We just found it out. Wisdom. Wisdom was in the beginning. But where was wisdom at? It had to come from somewhere, and it had to be, because it said this, I dwelled with him. Where was he at? Where was wisdom at? Talking about I dwelled with him from the beginning, before there was a heaven and earth. Where was this place? That's the question.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Go back to Proverbs chapter 8.
Proverbs chapter 8.
And verse 22.
Proverbs 8 and 22 reads, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was.
Stop. So here's the thing. He said, I was set up from everlasting, from, so the beginning or ever the earth was. So wisdom was there before the beginning and from everlasting. Everlasting is from before the beginning. So what was before the beginning, before everlasting? That's the next question. That's the next question. We should, you know, this is why we speed read, man. This is why, you know, I tell people all the time, before you open up your mouth, before you call yourself want to teach or anything like that, you better read your book from Genesis to Revelation at least twice. At least twice, so that the Holy Ghost can really use you. But if you haven't read your book at all, then you're not allowed to teach anybody, because you can lead somebody in the wrong way.
Amen. Amen.
Let's look up this word everlasting, because look at this again. Let me reiterate this. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. In the beginning, so we read that there was a beginning. We found out that that was beginning of time, right? We found out
right.
The beginning was time, right?
before there was a heaven, before there was an earth, before there was angels. Angels are created from heaven. So heaven was created first. The earth was created after heaven, and the angels was created after those things. Recognize what he's talking about. Now, there isn't a time window here. That's in the beginning. That's all you got. But here in Proverbs chapter 23, he said, wisdom said, I was set up from everlasting from the beginning. So wisdom was before everlasting. Let's look at this word everlasting, okay? Let's look at the word everlasting. Okay, let me pull this up. One second. Okay. Everlasting. Lasting forever, eternal. Wait a minute. Everlasting and eternal are synonymous. But beginning isn't synonymous with eternal. You see that? Everlasting, forever, eternal is synonymous with each other. It says this, lasting, forever, eternal, everlasting. So the beginning isn't eternal. Everlasting is not the beginning. It says this, continual, indefinite, or for a long period of time, persisting too long, tedious. It says, everlasting God, eternal duration, eternity. So, everlasting wisdom was before everlasting. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Wisdom was before everlasting. It says never coming to an end, eternal. Wisdom was there before there was no beginning or end.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. How is this?
I don't know.
You see, this is that thing. How is this? How in the world is wisdom and everlasting before? How is it that eternal is before everlasting, I should say? It says this. It says, lasting forever, eternal, lasting or continual for an indefinite long time. This is why when the lake of fire is, it's for eternity. Now, you can create something and put it inside of eternity, right? Just like he put the beginning inside of eternity, right? Just like he put everlasting inside of eternity. So eternity is the beginning of everlasting. This is how we go. This is how you go back and say, in the beginning. So we see now that everlasting was put inside of eternity. So eternity was created before everlasting, because you can put the lake of fire inside of eternity, because the lake of fire is going to be for eternity. You can put time inside of eternity because time is everlasting or eternal. But the word eternal was before all of those things. That's the next thing. See? It says this, reoccurring. It says any various plant. Oh, now we ain't going to read that. Let's see. It says in the thesaurus, it says everlasting, let's see, it's referring to the physical thing. It says, continuing forever or indefinitely, the ageless thing of love and revenge. Well, those are words and emotions. Can you believe that? So you mean your emotions are eternal? It can be, because somebody can make you hate them forever. Or you can love them forever. So your emotions was put inside of eternity. That's a thought.
Wow.
So you mean to tell me your thoughts were created eternal? Yes, because the mind is eternal. What do you mean? Bruh, 20 years ago, if we think about it, 20 years ago, what we were doing 20 years ago would seem like 30 seconds ago. Your body would say, oh, that was a long time ago, because you can't do the things that you were doing 20 years ago. But your mind would be like, when you think about it, you're like, boom, you're right there. That makes your mind eternal. Not your brain, your mind. Your brain, it houses the mind. Your mind and brain are two different things. The brain is the physical form of the mind.
Heart.
That's the thing. You see? So let's look at this a little further. It says, eternal truth. Oh, my God. You don't even want to deal with that. Well, the truth is, let's deal with that. Truth is eternal. What do you mean? 1 + 1 = 2. That was brought into eternity. That's wisdom. Wisdom testifies of itself. Wisdom testifies of children. 1 + 1 = 2. That was brought into eternity. That would never change. 1 + 1 will always equal 2. A man and a woman will always make 2. A man and a woman will always make a 3. So that's what it is. 1 + 1 = 2. Guess what? Now 2 + 1 = 3. You can't get around that. That's a law. That's a law that's created in eternity, or in from the beginning, which is eternal, which is put inside of eternity, right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
It says this. It says life everlasting, which is eternal, right? That was put inside of eternal. And hell, which is also put inside of eternal, and unending bliss of heaven, which is eternal, perpetual, unceasing, unending, ageless, isione, right? Permanent.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right, let's go back to that. Let's go back to the scriptures, and let's go back to Proverbs chapter 22, and let's continue. You left off at 23.
Read
that
23
again.
Left it off for 23. Okay, Proverbs 8:23 reads, well, actually, Proverbs 8:22, it says, the Lord possessed me in the way, no way, excuse me, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains.
Stop. So wisdom was before depths. Wisdom was before depth. You see, this is another thing. So now we got to look at this word depth. Let me see. Find it. Wisdom was before depth. Okay, dimension. A place. Depth is a place. Hold on. I need to get a really good Let me do this. I got it. 1 second. Give me a second. Because I need a better implementation of that verse.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, because we don't want to cheat this one here. Because he said wisdom was before death. Now, once you understand what the power of death is, then you understand what the power of wisdom is. Okay?
I only know what the Lord allowed me to this day, sir. Is that fair?
Okay, I see what I did wrong. Okay, let me do this. Let me go back, because I didn't spell it right. Okay. Let's see. Is that D H?
It's D E P D D E P.
Okay, I got it. Yep. Okay. Okay. Before, now read that verse again. I got it. Read that verse again.
Okay. All right. Verse 24 reads, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no...
Stop. Before there was no depth, I was brought forth. So wisdom was there before there was any word called depth, right? Okay.
Yes.
So let's look at what depth means. The condition or quality of being deep. It says the extent of measurement or dimension downward, backwards, inwards. Stop! That's north, south, east, and west. So before there was a north, south, east, and west, God put a gauge on north, south, east, and west. It was no such thing as north, south, east, and west. We take that for granted. Like north, south, east, and west was always here. It was not. Wisdom was there before there was even a north, south. Man, do you know what that means? There was no such thing as measurement. Bruh, there was no such thing as measurement. There was nothing. Wisdom was before there was measurement. So it's impossible to put, so eternity was put inside of depth because there's no measurement in depth. Depth is bigger than eternity. Are we listening? Look at this. Look what else it says. It says, the extent of measurement or dimension downward, backwards, upward, a measurement or sense of distance from an observation point, such as a linear perspective of painting. Often depth or a deep part or place. So it says, first of all, before there was any such thing as a measurement, there was nothing. And wisdom was there to put a gauge on nothing. And then he put, I guess the Lord just answered my question. What was before eternity? Depth. Depth was before eternity. To put a gauge on nothing. To put eternity inside of nothing. He answered my question for me. He called it depth. He called
stay on
it
the straight
depth.
And narrow. Stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, bro, that don't have nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now. But I got you. Yes, we do. We got to stay on the straight and narrow. Let's stay focused. All right, check this out.
Sorry about that.
Depth, without depth, there's nothing. Depth has nothing. Have you found something there? Did you find something? Okay. So depth is the measurement of absolutely nothing. How do you measure nothing? This is why the cosmos in outer space, I'm just going to say outer space, the cosmos, not the universe, because the universe is inside of the cosmos or space. So depth, the space was put inside of depth or the universe or the stars or the cosmos. How big is that, man? How vast is that? You got some stars that take 4 to 5 billion years to light to even reach this planet. This let me know that it's no way we'll ever see heaven, because heaven is past those stars. Those stars are inside of our cosmos, which was placed inside of the depth. What do you mean? That space that we see that's in between each star, that black out there, that's called eternal depth. That's depth. Inside of that depth was referred to as eternity. He put eternity inside of depth. Before there was an eternity, which is a form of time of no beginning and no end, depth had surpassed that. Are we listening? We aren't listening to the scriptures because we are not taking the time to study the script. We're saying we want to jump the gun and say, well, if I look at it in Greek and Hebrew and this, that, and the other, then I get a greater understanding. Well, yeah, I agree with that, but I would suggest that you read the Bible first before you even start talking about a Greek and Hebrew. People want to go and graduate from school and not even finish the ninth grade.
Agreed. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. So you got to start from ground zero to get to 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. Ain't no skipping. I ain't going to say ain't no skipping. That's my Ebonic hollering out. There is no beginning. There's no skipping that. Depth. It says this. Severus or worst part, right? It says low point, level, or degree, right? Intellectual complexity or penetration, profoundly. What? So in the beginning, God created intelligence to be without measure. Are we listening?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He created intelligence this is why he said, I created you in my image. Eventually, your intelligence you're going to be 100% cerebral. Anybody that's 100% cerebral understand all things. So with that being said, in order for you to become 100% cerebral, you have to understand the gravity of what is the vastness of to be 100% cerebral. That is to say, you're on the next level of deep. Deep ain't even a question. No wonder his voice sounds like water, because he's talking in water. His voice is vibrating water. Water is his speech.
I agree.
One word from the Chesedics can give you understanding of just about anything that you ask for. One word. Just one word. Just like we got this here. Just one word. Imagine when he opened up our consciousness to everything. He created our intelligence to not have any bounds on it. We got bounds on it because we're being taught by slave masters. Oh, you got to go to school, and then you're going to go from 1 through 8 to learn how not to think, and then you're going to go from 8 to 12 and learn how not to think, and then you're going to go and get your master's and your PhD on how not to think. You will have wisdom of this world, and this is why your wisdom will never coincide or be consistent with the wisdom of God, because your wisdom is going to testify of those things that was before it. So you're going to be a witness against God. That's why the people in this world, your so-called presidents and your kings, who wisdom is mostly is between 138.8 that score that what you take in high school. What is that? The ACT? Right. So it's the ACTs. Okay, that points out your measurement of intelligence, right? So most of our rulers in this world, their comprehension is between 140 to maybe 180. That's not enough. That's telling us that they still bound and they don't know how to think properly either. You see? But with the wisdom of God, that'll give you complete and total understanding. This is why Jesus was ever the king. That's why Pilate asked him, said, what is truth? You see? Jesus could have told him, 1 + 1 = 2. Defend that. That's an absolute. Truth is absolute. He could have told him that, but he was talking to a king that would have probably contested it because he was taught by the world how to think, how to think. That's why Jesus didn't answer him, or else he would have told him how to think. And he didn't teach this world how to think. He didn't give it to the kings of this world how to think. He said, I gave it to you to baffle them, to blow their minds on how to think. Depth, intelligence, intellectual complexity, penetration, profound. This is why, you know, you hear some people, man, that was profound. That was a huge thing, man. Intellectual, it said the range of one understanding or competence. Are you kidding me? So he gave each and every last one of us a barrier, a gauge on how deep we can go. You know, that's why you got some teachers, some administrators, some this and some that, miracles and this, that, and the other. This is why you got different concentrations. This is different measures of depth. This is a whole different level of consciousness. See that? It says the range of one understanding or competence. The strength held in reserve, especially a supply of skilled and capable replacement, the degree of richness or intensity, the lowest pitch. This is why he said when he speak, the earth shook, because that was the lowest pitch of depth. His voice can shake the heavens, man. You know, like on a temptation, Melvin, you knew when he went into the microphone, you felt it. You felt it. It says this, complete detail, thoroughness. It says, stint measurement or distance downward, backwards, inwards. So once again, he created, before there was a north, south, east, and west, before he put a gauge on what is north, south, east, and west, there was nothing. He put not only eternity inside of nothing, he put the beginning inside, he put everlasting inside of nothing, then he put the beginning inside of nothing. Are we listening?
Yes.
Let's get back to the script. Get back, read that Proverbs chapter 8 and 24 again.
Proverbs 8 and 24 reads, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set the compass.
When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Wisdom was before there was nothing. And I don't know. In fact, I want to read the definition of nothing, man. I got to look at that.
Okay.
Word nothing. All right?
Okay.
Not anything, no portion, one of no consequences, significance, interest. It says something that has no existence. He says this, before there was no existence. Before there was no existence. You see, this is that thing.
Yes.
Before there was no existence, come here. See this? Oh, you missed it. Okay, I go one going that way, and another one's going the other way. But you missed the other one. You're talking about some aerosol they put in there. Yeah, but it was one going this way, too. It was crossing each other. So it says this. One that has no, it says something that is has no existence. So he put, get this, eternity inside of nothing. He put everlasting inside of eternity. And then he put the beginning inside of everlasting. He put time inside of nothing. You see? It says, in no way or degree, not at all. What? How can you put a measurement on nothing? Something that don't exist. He did. Who think of that? Who think of putting a degree on something that don't exist? I'm still waiting. I'm waiting on somebody to tell me look, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to create something out of nothing. Everything that we see has an origin. Everything that we see has that's being created has a foundation from something, and that is to say mathematics. I would say that. That has an origin, but who put a measure on nothing? God put a measure on nothing, which is the word depth. Depth is another word for deep, but you get deep, and depth is simultaneous, but deep came from the word depth. You see, this is that thing. So read that 25. Read that 25 again.
Verse 25.
Hold on. Let me read what else it says about nothing. For no reason.
Yes, sir.
What? Nothing, not anything, or is implied or specific class of things. No part or share. A matter of no importance, significance. Indicating the absence of anything perceptible. Nothingness. Wisdom was before there was anything that mattered before man. Wisdom was before that. That's why he said my wisdom is worth more than gold, because I'm before gold. I created gold. Wisdom is before rubies. I created rubies. Right?
Agreed.
Yeah, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Let's pick it up. At verse 24 again, please.
Proverbs 8 and 24 read, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world.
Stop, stop, stop. This let me know that there was mountains before the earth. This let me know that there was water before the earth. Or else, that's when he tells us in the beginning, in verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, the waters, and the face of the deep. So water was before this. What? Really? So heaven got water in it? I guess
yes.
So, because it says the tree, it says, yeah, it do have a river. Let's go into Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. There is water in heaven. 22 and 1.
Revelation 22 and 1 reads, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
See that? That's the water that was upon the earth in the beginning, a pure river of water of life. Why? Because this water gave life to everything that's on the earth as we know it right now. Now, right now, man, it's contaminated. We have put nuclear arsenals in it. We dropped oil in it. We did all kind of dumb things to this eternal water that, you know, that man is sitting up here talking about, you know, well, we're going to search for the eternal river that man can jump into, and you drink this water from this golden cup, and you know, this is all this fairy tale stuff from Gentiles who didn't even learn how to read until the 6th century. In fact, Gentiles didn't know how to read until they went to Egypt. That's where that's when they start building their museums and stuff like that, based off Egyptology. This is why you see a lot of the reflection of Egyptology in the world that you live in, especially in America. You know, in fact, we live in a place right now called Ramses. That's a direct reflection of Egypt.
Yep.
You see?
Yep, you're right.
So Gentiles didn't learn how to read. That's why God said Ham was the first one that comes with the world. This is why we still dealing with the ancient alphabet, the Phoenician, which is what we're reading now, reading these books and our dictionaries and the Bible out of right now. This is Phoenicia. This is in English. Stop lying to yourself. There's no such thing as English. The word English is made up. The alphabet that you're using is ancient Phoenician. We are speaking ancient Phoenician with a Latin accent on it or a Greek accent. So this is that thing. What we're speaking right now, this language we're speaking, is over 5,000 years old. It was given to the Gentiles, I would say the Saxons. It was given to the Saxons, which what we know now is your Britons. There's no such thing as a people called Britain. They're Saxons. So Britain is the name of the place that they live, and England is the name of the language that was given to them by the French, because they didn't have a national language or a national vocabulary until the 14th century. Do your homework, Pete. Look, it wasn't until the 14th century that English, so-called English, was given to the Saxons, who we know now as Britons or Englishmen, was given to them by the French because they didn't have a national government This is why the Vikings or your Norwegians was coming and robbing and taking them over, because they didn't have no form of government. They didn't have no form of architects. You see, so once again, our understanding, which is based off of their knowledge and such, man, is really immature. This is why people is acting crazy, because even the language itself is immature, because it's not old. This is why when you go to Asia, they act more mature than Americans, but now they're learning how to be silly like us. But before then, they was men of honor. Their words was 100% literal. They were taught 100% literacy until they got infused with this Western mindset, which is immature or a baby or infant. Infantile, I would say. Infantile. Mm. It's new. It's an infant to the Arabic and the Asiatic world. Arabic is old. You see? But we want to say, well, you got to speak English. We don't even know how to speak English. This is why you got lawyers. But in these worlds that they judged you, you didn't have a lawyer to represent you. You was judged for what you've done, and you knew what you've done, right or wrong. You see? Because everybody was 100% literal. Your conversation, your mindset, it was no question in our mind, what is literacy? What this mean? What that mean? You see? This is that thing. Are we listening? So, no, I'm not dogging the Gentiles out for when they came into their being. You have to have they have to get it from somewhere, right? We even took the vocabulary from the Phoenicians, you see? We even took the conversation from the Phoenicians, you see? This is that thing, you see? This is that thing. So this is 100, this is like years before that. Then when Shem got conquered by Babylonians, you know, which is the Gentile people. I ain't saying Europeans, but Gentiles, which is white people, when they took over our mindset, they took our books too, you see? So this is that thing. Not only did Alexander the Great took all those things, Alexander the Great took those things from Egypt, right? They the ones that call Egypt, Egypt. They gave the word Egypt into the creation, because before them, the word of God said there was Mizraim. There was no such thing as Egypt. But when the Greeks took over the world, they called Egypt, Mizraim, Egypt, which means black. Egypt only means black. That's all it means. Kush, which is the Ethiopians, right? That word came from the Greek, which means burnt face or black face. That's where that came from, the Greeks. Like Niger. This, you know, the uneducated of your Europeans or white people use the word nigger when it's supposed to be Niger. Niger only means black. It means black. But nigger is a derivative of Niger. But they use it in a negative term, like nigga this, nigga that. You nigga this, okay, but do you know what it means? Yeah, that means you are stupid. No, it don't. That means you ignorant and you stupid. You don't even know what you actually saying. You put another G, and you didn't even spell it right. You add another G to it, which only testifies your ignorance. So why should I be upset when you testifying that you as ignorant as they come?
Amen, brother. Amen. That's right.
You see, so I'm not upset with that. That's your ignorance that you got to deal with, you know. So if somebody call you a nigga, you just look around like, you a guy. You're like, okay, all right. So you an infidel. You a child. Okay, all right. Keep it moving, right? This is that thing. We got to be careful of the words that we, you know, the things that we're reading. Understand the origins before there was anything, right? So now the Gentiles got the understanding of the Egyptians, which got the understanding of one God, because the Gentiles believed in, they was polytheism, just like the Egyptians were polytheistic as well. But when Joseph came into the fold of the Egyptians, they learned that there was one God. When Moses established the fact that there's one God, and God said, I'm going to execute judgment on all their gods and show that I am the true and living God, the Egyptians became monotheistic. They started believing in one God. Now the Gentiles, right now, they are believing in one God, even though they don't know who he is. That's why we pray for their ignorance. They don't know who he is, but they're not polytheistic again, or believing in a bunch of gods, so to say. You see, that's a big difference. Where are we?
We're at Revelation 22.
Right, we read that, right? Okay, read 20. Read that one again, right?
Yes, sir. Revelation 22:1 reads, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations."
Stop. Now, go to Ezekiel 47. Because now we see that Solomon was right. You know, that water was already in the play when he created all things, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 47:1.
Ezekiel 47:1 reads, "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the side of the altar."
Stop. So now we see this water. Now we see God is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, and he doing the same thing he did in heaven, which we read in Revelation chapter 22:1. Skip down to verse 8, and let's see what this water do. In fact, yeah, skip down at verse 7 and read what this water will do. Continue.
Verse 7 reads, "Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Continue?
Yeah.
Okay, excuse me. "Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, wherever soever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh." And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Ingridi.
Skip down to verse 12. Skip down to 12.
Verse 12. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine.
Stop. Same conversation we read in Revelation chapter 22 and 1, is that the waters was for the trees, and the fruit of the trees was for the healing of the nation. Same conversation. Also, we see here that this water, this is what we were reading about, this water here is the one that was spoken of in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 25. Now, go back to Proverbs chapter 8 and 25 and read that.
Proverbs 8 and 25 reads.
Stop. 24.
Yes, sir. Proverbs 8 and 24 reads, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water.
Stop. That's the water he was talking about. The water that gives life. The earth hasn't had the water put upon it yet. Because when he created the heavens and the earth, the heavens got water and the earth got water. What do you mean? Because the earth was created from heaven. This is why you got molten volcanoes, molten lava inside the earth. That's what heaven is. That's what heaven is created. That's where the earth is created. If there's a crust on top of eternity, which is that right there. There's a crust right now that man is created in the image of the earth. What do you mean? Oh, made from the earth. The earth is eternal. That fire that's inside of the earth is eternal. It'll never go out. You can drop a nuclear bomb on a planet. That fire inside the earth is going to continue. Man, they always talk about how it'll be dark on the earth and there'll be this, that, and the other. They keep forgetting that the earth core will never go out. It'll never go out. You see? So they can forget about that, talking about where the earth would be all burnt up and it'd be this, that, and the other. Forget about it. The volcanoes will never go to sleep. You know, they say they sleep. No, they just taking a nod. You know, they ain't out. It ain't their time yet. You know what I mean? It's just not their time. But molten lava will never cease. It'll never cease because that's eternal. You cannot put out molten lava. Lava ain't afraid of water. They don't care about water. It turned water into earth. In fact, when lava and water come together, it creates earth.
Amen. That's agreed.
I don't know what man is talking about. You know, when we think about, you know, when they say the earth is over with, what about, you know, that should be a question. Well, the volcanoes don't still erupt. You still want to have the molten lava is pouring out into the ocean or whatever. Even though the ocean is contaminated, molten lava is going to pour out into that, and guess what it's going to do? Purify the water again. So all this nuclear holocaust, fear talk and fear mongering and all that type of stuff, let it go. It ain't going to happen. And the Lord ain't going to let that happen. You know, he's not going to let them blow up the planet and contaminate his work. That's why he said if he don't come back, there would be nothing left. Because man right now, it only takes seven nuclear bombs to wipe out the whole planet or life on the earth as we know it. You see, man have thousands of nuclear arsenals everywhere. You know, so that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You see, so continue.
Verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth.
Stop. When he, wisdom was before nothing. See that? Wisdom was before nothing. How do you get, that's what we got to wrap our mind around. See, wisdom is before nothing. So therefore, when he gave a depth or nothing a law, he said north, south, east, and west. They go to law for nothing. There will be a north, there will be a south, there will be an east, and there will be a west. That's the law of nothing being brought into order. Scientists want to say, well, the Big Bang Theory, you got this, you know, it was like a shotgun blast going out into the atmosphere, and here come all the planets, and here come man, and here come this, that, and the other, and here come what? Numbers? Where did numbers come from? Don't tell me that's a, numbers is an exact science. You can't get around that. Time is consistent with numbers. You can't get around that. You can only move that upon the ignorant.
27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds.
Keep going. I'm at verse 28. I was ahead of you. Go ahead.
Yep. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him.
Stop. See that? This is that thing. Now, watch this. This is the difference between the sons of God and the wicked. Read on.
Verse 29. When he gave to me to see his decree that the water should not pass his commandments, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men.
See, this is that thing. This is the thing that the children of God say, my delight is with the children of man. See, if you ain't reading your Bible, you don't delight in God. Ain't no way in the world you're going to tell God I believe in you and I delight in you. You don't even read. You haven't searched them out. Because you sitting up here talking about I believe in you and you won't even listen. You have a listening problem because you won't even listen at the one that's telling you this is what will get you where you need to be. But instead, we'd rather establish our own righteousness being righteous in our own eyes. That's why he tells us every man is right in his own eyes, but the end thereof is death. So a lot of times, man, I just listen at people, Jack. I just listen and I listen and I listen. And, I, you know, me and I be doing these, the Lord gave me a speech with these words. And he taught me how to listen at people when they say certain things. And people is really foolish of how they open up their mouth. They don't fear God. And then when you hear people talk about they think they know God, they have no idea about what it is that he is. They don't know him. He hasn't revealed himself to them. If he did, then the fear of him would be upon them. This is how you know people don't believe in God. Because even if they sit up and say, well, I've been in the Word for 250,000 years. And never read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that's a child that's sitting in front of you right there. That's an infant. He's an infant. That, or she's an infant. I don't care how long she's been sitting in the church. She never read her book from Genesis to Revelation. He never read his book from Genesis to Revelation. You're listening to a nobody. Simple as that. All to it. They children playing with fire. Playing with fire. And you know what happened with children that play with fire? They end up in ICU. Hurt very bad. One way or another, they end up in a hospital very, very hurt because they playing with fire. No matter how much you warn them, they're going to mess around and they're going to find themselves that you don't play with fire. And God said, I am a consuming fire. We are not listening. But then when they ask, get in a sling, all of a sudden, pray for me. Oh my God, pray for me. Pray for them. Pray for all of, no. No. The Lord said, oh, don't you pray for them. When they had an opportunity to hear my word, they would not. When they had an opportunity to be obedient, they would not. He said, don't you bring them before me, because they never wanted to hear me. They trusted in themselves. Let them get the rewards of their works. End of it. Some people sit there, well, you don't have the love of God in you. Well, hey, man, that's between you and God. You can say what you want to say. But everything I'm saying, I can read it. Now, you go on here with your fairy tales and your pretentious thinking, what you think what God is and what you think really what love is. You take that wherever. Everything I'm saying, I can read it. And I ain't going to testify on nothing that I can't read. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's stop here. Let's leave this here. With this wisdom, man. Let's end this right here. We're going to close out here, and then you got any questions or comments?
I'll be brief, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you did a great teaching, Brother Joe. Grace and peace to the family and those listening to the lesson of the Sounds of Living Water in the Commonwealth of Israel. We welcome you to be watered with the same knowledge that we learn. It is overwhelming. It's overwhelming to understand what we don't even know at all. But if we just pick up the book, you know, we can get some understanding, because he says he comes through the volume of the book. So what I learned is, like, you just can't just read the Old Testament and New Testament. You know, you got to understand that he's part of that book. He's that tree, you know, and we shouldn't forsake him, you know. I mean, the best way I always say is, like, if ye have least the faith of a mustard seed, ye faith shall increase. So all I say is all praise the Most High God. Keep him first and keep him always first. And I thank God for this lesson and for my brother and all my family out there. Like the Lord said, fight the good fight. The Lord will always be with you. He shall not leave you asunder. So much love. Grace and peace. You did an excellent job, brother. With that, I close.
Well, hey, bro, I appreciate the reading, man, and you know, and bringing in the gospel, you know what I'm saying, and staying on point and staying with the scripts. So with that being said, great job reading, and everyone that's listening, please, as we say here at the Sound of Living Waters, man, read your Bibles. Amen?
Read your Bibles. Amen. Love you, bro. Love you, sis. Hey, great people. Y'all have a blessed Saturday.
Sound of the Living Water.
Shabbat Shalom, Israelites.
From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love, recovering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.